the case of Ken Zarin. And so Ken is an artist in Seattle. Probably still is, as far as I know. We've got this image. April 19th, 1995, the Murrah Federal Building was blown up by what people at first thought was a terrorist, but turned out to be a what? A nut job. And this is in Oklahoma. And a few days later, somebody goes on a bulletin board, one of some internet bulletin board or America Online bulletin board, and posts messages that Ken, unnamed, no last name, has some Naughty Oklahoma t-shirts for sale with messages on them like, "Visit Oklahoma, it's a blast." And rack 'em, stack 'em, and pack 'em, Oklahoma 1995. And a number of other tasteless messages. And it gives Ken's gives you the telephone number to call to order your t-shirts, which turns out to be Ken Zarin's telephone number. And Ken Zarin, for reasons he has no concept of, starts getting lots of angry telephone calls. Lots of angry telephone calls. And death threats. And a local radio station picks it up and says, "Do you know what Ken is doing? He's making fun of the poor babies in the daycare center who were blown up in this attack by selling t-shirts with jokes about them. Why doesn't everybody call Ken and tell him what they think?" So Ken starts getting more. He gets police protection around. Eventually, he keeps one of these people on the line long enough to figure out why people are calling him. Ken calls AOL and says, "Take it down." And what does AOL say? AOL says, "Well, it's against corporate policy to take stuff down." And I says, no, you don't understand. You know, there's, like, I'm getting death threats because there's this stuff, people think that there's this nonsense that I'm selling these t-shirts. And I says, "Well, yeah, we'll take it up with management and we'll get back to you." Okay, so this goes on for a while. Eventually the thing gets unwound. The radio station is persuaded to retract it. The number of phone calls drops from literally hundreds per day down to a trickle, and then eventually newspaper publishes a story about it and it stops. But, you know, his life has been made hell for the intervening period. And he sues AOL. And AOL says, "Well, no, we're a provider of interactive computer services. So we don't have any responsibility. We didn't say it, and we didn't publish it." And the court says, "You know, actually, that's what the law says. Good Samaritan provision precludes courts from entertaining claims that would place a computer service provider in a publisher's role. Thus, lawsuits seeking to hold a service provider liable for its exercise of a publisher's traditional editorial functions, such as deciding whether to publish, withdraw, postpone, or alter content, are barred." So the internet is a special place now, and it is different from radio, television, and print media. But it's now weird in a very weird way. So Ken has to find the source. That's some anonymous AOL poster. He can't find him. He can't sue AOL. Probably can't sue the people who were routing the packets around. Can't sue his own ISP. So this, you know, raises the question of, you know, how do you regulate it, or should you regulate it? This doesn't seem right at all. Yeah.
I don't understand why AOL didn't take the post down after Zarin had contacted them and said, you know, these posts are, you know, they're harming
like they were short staffed that day. They were like, I mean, I'm making this up, okay?
Yeah.
Presumably they didn't, because they didn't want to get into the business of doing it, and they know that they had no legal responsibility to do so. I mean, and they were correct in making that judgment. But, you know, if you start editing what's on a site, you know, you got to hire people to do it. And, you know, now, you know, ultimately, the joke's on AOL, because they basically got gobbled up and, you know, moved on. But I don't know the answer. But what you're raising the point is that you hope perhaps that internet providers exercise some standards. But of course, when they exercise standards, they have to make judgments. And maybe this was an easy call, but the next person who calls up, they're not going to be able to say, we never do it. We say we do it when it's important. And somebody will say, well, why, you know, why isn't it important? But you're asking, why don't they act like a newspaper, is sort of what you're saying. You know, newspapers won't print letters that are, they do some kind of checking, but they don't publish everything. Ali, do you have? That's okay. Okay. Okay, so, you know, the First Amendment puts us in a funny place. I just want to put this slide up. It's not the CDA First Amendment regime is not the only way things could work. And this is the sort of, this is the European standard. Okay, we're an internet society, information society services provided that consists of storage of information. Member states shall ensure that service provider is not liable for the information stored at the request of a recipient of the service on condition that, one, the provider does not have actual knowledge of illegal activity of information and as regards claims for damage, is not aware of facts or circumstances from which the illegal activity of information is apparent, or B, the provider, upon obtaining such knowledge or awareness, acts expeditiously to remove or disable access to the information. So this is a sort of more balanced regime between, you know, the speaker and the person damaged by the speech. But, you know, it's not the standard in this country. The standard in this country is extremely high to prevent any, for the government to get involved in preventing anybody from saying anything. Extremely high. Because this, of course, all of these terms, you know, are going to have to be interpreted. And there's the risk that in order to protect yourself, you know, the providers of these services will make the conservative judgment tending to take stuff down as soon as anybody complains about them, which will makes every person a speaker and every person a censor simultaneously.